Whether you're single or married, whether you have kids, grandkids, or no kids, we have all these natural stages and rhythms of life. But sometimes these stages get messed up and discombobulated. Find out on this episode what happens if this is happening to you.
Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
Hey everyone, we're so happy and very excited for this next upcoming quarter, next 13 weeks, that you decided to join us here for our first week of Inverse. We are in the topic of families. Now, how many of you out there have a family or families or some family of some sort? We're going to look at all the components of a family, the anatomy of families, and how that works. We're talking about spiritual context. Mm-hmm. So we are going to go to Genesis chapter 1:1, which is where everything gets started. So hopefully you're familiar with that. But before we read scripture, we're going to ask Jonathan if you can pray for us.
Absolutely. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the opportunity we have to study the word again. And we just ask that your spirit will guide us now as we dig deeper and as we search for answers and direction in your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go to Callie, Genesis 1:1. Let's read the entire chapter, shall we? Do we have enough time
for
that?
Let's do it.
We'll just skip
Absolutely
around.
Not.
We'll just skip around. No. And we won't read the whole chapter, but out there, if you can follow along, if you have your Bibles or can read on the screen or if your phones, but we're just going to just see some macro patterns in the book of Genesis, or Genesis chapter 1.
All right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day.
Okay, we'll stop there and maybe kind of pause. And Sebastian, what do we see thus far? Okay, I mean, I know we can do a lot in those verses.
Yes, we can.
But for the purposes of talking about family and stages and rhythms, what's the pattern that we see in Genesis 1?
Well, I think the first thing we see is that God is a God of order. Mm. Right? There's no hint of randomness. Mm-hmm. That God is intentional. We know that as we look in the first 3 days, God is kind of forming the earth. Mm-hmm. And then the latter 3 days, God is filling the earth mm-hmm. and all the things that he formed. Mm-hmm. And so this gives you a sense of structure of a cyclical kind of development, the daily output of the creation that God is making. Mm-hmm. So God is not going into things just kind of haphazardly saying, maybe I'll make light today. Oh, maybe I'll make the sky. Maybe I'll divide the waters today, whatever he feels like. God actually has a plan, and he's very intentional in
and
what he's doing.
This order is something that we see all throughout nature. It's not something that Revelation has to give to us, the Bible
right.
has to give to us. We see it naturally evident anyway. I love that point in verse 2. The earth was without form and void. Mm-hmm. There's no shape, and there's nothing in it.
Nothing.
And that's an interesting comment. I mean, there's 3 days he's shaping it.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 days, he's filling it. He's unvoiding it and without forming. He's forming it and unvoiding it.
Thank you.
He kind of goes
Jonathan.
From like the massive
yes.
To the detailed. So at first, you know, he creates the big parts of earth, and then he separates the waters and the atmosphere and earth and dry land and water. And then he goes into the detail, how I'm filling it. He becomes intentional, very focused on details in how to make this earth is really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I really like how God really values that process.
It also reminds me of the fact that, you know, I used to ask myself the question, on the first day of creation, God says, "Let there be light," mm-hmm. and there was light. And then he just divides the light from the darkness. And you're like, that's all he does
yeah.
in the first day. So here is God, this omnipotent, all-powerful being. Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right, what are you going to do in 24 hours? I'm just going to make light. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of shocks you to think that God is not doing everything in a day that he can do, mm-hmm. right? He's doing what he plans. So he allows the day to just say, well, the evening and the morning were the first day,
mm-hmm.
which tells you that as we go through this quarterly, you know, we're going to be seeing that life is also a process. Mm-hmm. And God is teaching us through Genesis 1 that you need to trust the process. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a time for light, and there's a time for us to create the sun and the moon and the stars. There's a time for the waters, and then there's a time for the fish.
Yeah. Yep. Kelly?
It shows that, yeah, just the different rhythms of life are different. And it's not like if he didn't create, because he created light in one day, but he didn't do other things, that doesn't mean the first day was a waste.
Right.
It just meant it was different from the rest of the days. Mm-hmm. And so even as our lives change in stages and in rhythms, it doesn't necessarily mean one is better than the other. Mm-hmm. It just means it's different.
I like this point that you guys are giving out. I like the different stages, different. There's what we just read is a 7-day cycle. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. And we see seasonal cycles happening after the flood. 8:22 of Genesis, the Bible says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and night, day and night shall not cease. You see that there's most parts of the world, not all parts. There are the four seasons. If you live in Michigan, you only have maybe one season and a couple weeks of summer, and then another season again.
Amen.
This shows that there's different stages. So what are the stages or seasons of life? Let's take it out and make it real.
Well, I think you start off obviously with youth. You're born and you're kind of going through stages where you're. That stage where you're learning everything. You're learning the system, the communication, the languages, the relationships, the authorities, the power distribution. Mm-hmm. You know, this person has authority over me. This is how I need to interact with my friends. Sharing is good. So you're learning basically how to adapt and to live in the world in which you were born into.
Mm-hmm.
And your parents are kind of the facilitators of that experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where you start off initially in that first stage of life.
So this is like childhood, yes?
Yes.
And then what's the next stage after that?
Summertime would be the next one.
Summertime.
Right? Spring, summer.
Okay.
Yeah, and then summertime is kind of, you're becoming an adult. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no.
Adulthood is like summertime. Okay.
Well, I see it in the season. You have spring. Mm-hmm.
You're wearing shorts.
Right. That's when, you know, you look at nature. It's the cycle continues. You know, everything is strong. Everything is really green and fresh.
Vibrant.
Yeah. This is where you have the majority of your energy, and you just live. This is life, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm.
And then it matures into the fall season of your life, so to say.
Mm-hmm. The fall, huh?
Yeah.
I'm interested in this one.
Well,
when signs of death are starting to show.
You're fall, Sebastian.
No, that's maturity.
It's maturity.
It becomes just this growth.
Colors.
More maturity, yes.
Okay.
Interesting.
Well, let's go back to summer a bit, and let's kind of slow down, because and I love how you put the seasons too. We do have the fall maturity, and then we have the winter years that are
death.
Okay, that's that. But let's go back to summertime. So there are also, as young adults and within this genre of young adults, there are different stages within young adults as mm-hmm. well. Yeah, you have maybe late adolescence where young people are trying to discover themselves. There's a lot of rebellion in
identity.
They are bucking the system, and they don't want any system around. And then you have the quarter life. How many of you guys
it's okay, Jesse, you can confess. You had a quarter life crisis
where you're thinking about, I don't know, what do people, what are they anxious about in their quarter life? Mm. Callie?
That's it to you.
I think part of it is because you have these plans, and you have, especially as like a late teenager and into early 20s, like at this point when I'm done with school or once I have these things established, then I will.
Yes.
And then you get to that point and either you do or you don't. Mm-hmm. And so it's also evaluating, like, did I do it? Or like, man, this is harder than I thought it was going to be. Or
yes.
This is better or worse. And so then you have to reevaluate if you are focused on the right things in general, mm-hmm. especially as you start a career, mm-hmm. and you also have to think, well, do I want to continue down this path? Do I need to drastically change it, depending on like where I want to be in 10 or 20 years? So mm-hmm. I think that
what am I going to do for the rest of my life? Who am I going to marry? But I think the larger question is, who am I? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before you had all the structure, but now structure is gone. You're creating structure for yourself,
yeah.
and peers are not as important as they once were.
Yeah.
And you're trying to discover who you are. Kelly, you're breathing
also,
in because you have a... yes.
Also, I think, at least for me and a lot of people that I know around my age, is you're also coming to terms with how much you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because as, you know, from like 10 to 18, kind of like, oh, I don't know. My parents know better. No, I know better. No, I know everything. I know absolutely everything. And then it peaks and it's like, actually, no,
right.
I don't know what I'm doing.
And reality kind of kicks in, and suddenly these hopes and dreams and the idealism you might have had growing up or coming into your 20s, you realize, okay, the world is not
as perfect as you might hope it would be. Mm-hmm. And things don't always turn out the way you plan them to be.
And we're not waxing eloquent here. I guess we're saying we get a lot of correspondence through social media and email from all of you out there, and a lot of you are young adults, and there's these natural anxiety questions that come up. And these are very normal questions that we should be asking. And our premise is that Scripture has the answer to a lot of these questions. If that's a specific question, or a specific answer, but these are principles that, guide us in which way we should go. Kelly.
Transition.
Sorry. Okay. You're breathing, so.
So.
I can hear you next to me, so you're.
Yeah. I think about, too, like the pain that comes with certain rhythms of life.
Yeah.
So I think about being like in middle school, right? Or being at a certain age where you want everyone to like you and no one likes you, you don't even like yourself, and it's hard and it's confusing. And we're asking.
Wow, it was
hard. I don't want to talk about it. So I remember talking to my mom about something difficult with, you know, girls being catty and unkind. And my mom would say, like, I'm so sorry, and I wouldn't trade places with you for the world. Like, because we just know this is a hard point of life.
Yes.
But also as you get older too, you can, you know, adults try to get through teenagers' thick skulls, and I'm a high school English teacher, and I love my students. If they're listening, I love you very much. But sometimes it's really hard to, like, why are you so foolish? But then I remember when I was their age, I did the same exact thing. And if adult told me this is dumb, I'd still be like, well, I know better than you. And I'm on this side. I'm like, no, you don't know better. Please listen. But they still go through that.
And I think it's really stemming from the whole idea that when you're going through those phases, they don't feel good in that stage.
Yeah.
But the reality is you begin to discover that there are other people who are going through the same thing, that this is actually predictable. This is normal. And I think when you're going through something and there's a, I understand, this is normal, like you should
you're
be going
crazy.
Through this right now, then it's kind of like, oh, I feel like I can better embrace it. And I feel like that's where the pain comes in, is that initial.
Well, Sebastian,
entry.
You're representing maybe the latter half of the young adult spectrum. And so you're beyond the quarter life. I think you're in like maybe in the third life crisis
third
mode.
Third quarter?
It's all right, Callie.
So you're older, you're wiser, you're near death than the rest of us. You have children, you're
What's
married,
your
wisdom is a couple months, several months, many weeks,
like
many
months?
Days, many hours older than I am. So Sebastian, what's life like on that side of the spectrum?
Well, I think you get to a place of stability. Your goal is really to create a sense of predictability to your life, and you're kind of on the course and you're like, I'm going to ride this road until it takes me to my ultimate destination. You begin to think about your posterity, what am I going to do to my kids, you know, in terms of as they age, as we think about college, you're thinking about responsibility, and you put together a lot of long-term plans into play. But also you like to say, look, this is what I have, this I want to maintain, what's in my possession, and I need to be responsible over that.
Now, we've been sharing of our life experiences, but we're going to look at why does God allow these stages to happen, and what happens when these stages get mixed up in crazy things, or maybe when there's nothing happening and a crazy thing is about to be anticipated. How do we handle changes in these stages of life? Find out when you come back after the break.
Has Inverse been a blessing to you? Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. While there, join us, like us, heart us, thumbs up us. Our handle again is Inverse Bible, no spaces. Now, back to the discussion.
Sometimes in these stages of life, you get interrupted, like this commercial break, but you got to get back into it and
like
pick
now.
Up where you just left off, like we're doing right now. So this is an exercise of life itself.
Job,
Jonathan, why are there these different stages? Like, what does the Bible say about these different stages?
Mm-hmm. Well, you think about it. The reason why we have the life the way we have it is because of sin. There is an end to the life as we know it now. So we have limited time. And in this limited time, in the process that our bodies go through, things change. Mm. And so we were originally not intended to experience it like this, but this is how it is. But by God's grace, there is a blessing in this process that we go through in this life. And so as we age, as we grow, we are growing with the Lord, and we become closer and closer connected to Him.
It's a profound thought, like the aging process is a part of sin. And, you know, I used to think that I was, when I was single, that I was part of the 144,000. I was a saint, and I needed to get married to realize Romans chapter 3 for the first time in my life, that I'm a sinner. Yeah.
Amen.
And then my wife realized she was a sinner for the first time. And then we grew like you mentioned, we grew.
Right.
And then we thought we're saints again. And then we had children.
Like, no.
And then now we know we are perpetual sinners. Yeah. You know? We are driven to the cross and the grace of
Amen.
Christ every
Amen.
Single day because of our children. And,
right.
and they are wonderful tools. And so it's cool that this aging process is part of redemption. Mm-hmm. That is a profound thought.
I think it's also the changing process is also related to the fact that we are not God. You know, the Bible tells us in Malachi 3:6 that God does not change, but we are creatures of change. Mm. And so I think the stages we go through are really the result of the nature in which God created us with. And I think that it was to reveal certain aspects of God at every single stage when man was created in his image, as we end in Genesis chapter 1. Mm-hmm. And so even when man is created, even though he's not necessarily an infant, even as he develops and as he grows, he's revealing more and more of the image of God. But I think we go back to children, their ability to forgive and to have joy and simplicity mm-hmm. in life, and you get to the wisdom of the elderly or the vibrance of the middle-aged and their ability to be industrious and productive. Mm-hmm. These are all different attributes of the image of God and of the glory of God.
Oh, I love that. Each stage is a different vignette. You have the youth, you have the energy, you have the wisdom, you have the experience, and it all comes together. You get a composite picture.
Because, you know, my grandmother used to say that, you know, youth is wasted upon the young. Because she would say, you know, me being 70, 80, I can see so many opportunities you have. And you have your youth, but then you end up wasting it. And then for me, I'm looking at her and I'm like, man, you know, you have so much wisdom and life experience and I don't know how to do this and I don't know how to do that. And so you can see how in each stage we can sometimes pit them against each other and create tension because it's like, well, I want to be where you are and I wish I was where you were and I did not make these choices when I was young.
Yeah.
And so I think it's very important to recognize that there's a different vignette, as you put it, of God, of his glory that's shining in this part of our life in that stage.
Yeah. So, Kelly, why are these vignettes different, though? Like, why can't they be smoother transitions? Sometimes you get these rough transitions, but why are they so different?
I think one reason is, just what Sebastian said of we can't be God. Mm-hmm. So God's like, okay, I'm going to spread out my attributes throughout your life. Mm-hmm. And also to teach us that we can't do all the things all the time. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was canvassing for a summer, I loved it. I felt like I was serving Jesus in the ultimate way. And I stopped canvassing because I had to go to school. And then I was like, well, now I'm a sinner. And now God hates me because I'm not knocking on people's doors all the time. And I felt like this rhythm that I was in now is completely inferior to my full-time ministry that I had before. And then I start being a teacher, like, oh, I'm teaching these students about Jesus, but I could be knocking on doors. But investing in young people is just as legitimate of a ministry, whether it's 30 people or I'm a mother and I have two kids that I'm investing in. And so life changes, I think, also for God to show us his priorities about ministry, because it's not just about going door to door. That's amazing. It's not even just about being a mother. It's not about just preaching. But God uses all different kinds, and he wants us to be faithful to him and not just to this feeling of productivity or this feeling that I'm being a good person.
You know, in life there is, I feel, you know, we already established there is a process of growth and change and all those things. And then you have these, just like in creation, you have this separation experiences, division, so to say. You know, you become an adult, you get married, so you're separating from your parents. And you might think, oh, separation is bad, but there's a purpose in this because now you're joining together. There's separation and joining together, and then more life is multiplication. You have a child, and the process continues. So in each season of life, whether it's separation or multiplication or joining together, there is a blessing in the process. As we go through the process with the Lord, God is going to bless in each stage. And I'm so thankful for that, you know, that God is taking care of us in those situations.
I'm going to build up what you're saying. I love, going back to Genesis 1 also, you have the first three days.
Right.
And the 3 days set it up for the second 3 days. So you have the first day links up with I'm not going to do the fingers.
The first, fourth, second, fifth.
So light was created on the first day, but light is now contained and more concrete and ameliorated through the sun, moon, and stars. You know, second and fifth, and the third and the sixth.
Reading enrichment.
And I think this is really profound. Sometimes I think, I don't know how many of you out there are like, man, I used to, like just what Callie was saying, I used to do this, but now I'm at this stage of life and I'm stuck and I can't do what I used to do. And this is not the purpose of God. I mean, that is in preparation for this. It may be something totally different.
Right.
There's some related, but it's preparation for this. And we need to now think, Lord, as I reflect upon my life,
mm-hmm.
you've given me all these experiences. You gave me the first day, the second day, and the third day. Mm-hmm. How does it prepare me for the fourth day?
Right.
And also now, doing it in the fourth day, how do I anticipate the fifth and sixth day?
And you know, I think it also gets a little bit mucky as well, because we wish life could be like Genesis 1,
mm-hmm.
where it's all under God's control and it's going exactly according to his plan.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that that's not how life unfolds,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, growing up with a single parent, sometimes you feel like I had to grow up a little bit faster than other people because my mom was a single mom,
mm-hmm.
and I'm the oldest of seven. So it's like, well, you're doing things that probably another seven-year-old doesn't have to do. And so I think that, you know, God has a specific plan and ideal,
mm-hmm.
you know, like Jonathan was saying, where it's like, this is how he wants it to be. And I feel like as we're going through these rhythms of life, there are bumps in the road,
mm-hmm.
right? There's little interruptions and things that happen that say, well, this wasn't supposed to go like this. And I feel like we're all kind of somewhere on the spectrum of having those interruptions at different stages of life.
So are these interruptions, though they may feel like interruptions,
mm-hmm.
in the purpose of God and in the larger picture and his providence and his transcendence, are they really interruptions?
Mm. I think God can use all of them. You think about Moses, you know, after he fled Egypt and he's just chilling, taking care of sheep. Like, that sounds like really like a big waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
But God taught him so much and enabled him to become a leader later after that time with him and trusting him.
Mm-hmm.
So things that we may see as interruptions or like, this is a waste of my talents, this is a waste of my time, God is developing different qualities within us. And so another thing I was going to say too is, as well as idealizing the past, sometimes we idolize the future.
Yes.
Of once I get this job, once I'm married, once I move
right.
here.
Totally, totally.
And then I'll be at peace, and then I'll be productive, and then I'll
right.
serve God.
Right, right.
You won't.
And
it's
like,
won't.
No, you won't though. And so I think right. we also limit the power and the love of God
mm-hmm.
to a situation. Like, you can literally serve God when you're working two jobs. You can
mm-hmm.
serve God when you're a full-time student. You can
mm-hmm.
serve God when you are the oldest of seven.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no limitation, and there might be ministry that maybe you enjoy at the beginning, but I personally can't think of any point in my life where I started something and I loved it right immediately. I hated canvassing the first, but then I loved it. I hated Bible working.
Mm.
I hated teaching because it's just scary, because change is scary.
A lot of hate.
But then love hate. But then we get used to it and then we're like, well, I don't want to leave now. And so just the point of like our peace and our reliance upon God should be reliant upon God and not upon our circumstances.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think of Jesus. It's just amazing how he lived his life. You know, during the day he would just minister and minister.
Yeah.
And then at night he would pray. And, you know, seek the Father to find out what's next.
Mm-hmm.
And for my life, I want to live like that. I don't want to make too many plans. I don't want to idolize the future so much.
Mm.
I just want to trust that the Lord is going to lead me. And it's not so important what I will be doing tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
What is more important is that who I am with. Am I with
yeah.
God and the person that he wants me to minister to?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, I want to say focus on the here and now, because today is all I have. And I want to be faithful today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seek first the kingdom of God, you know,
right.
and his
right.
righteousness. And
what both of you are mentioning is so important, especially to our generation today.
Mm-hmm.
Because of social media, we have this temptation to want to be omniscient, to find yeah. out what everyone else is experiencing. So
mm-hmm.
we're not only idolizing our past, our future, we're idolizing
stuff.
Other people's stuff,
mm-hmm.
everything. So even though it's such a selfish me culture, it's also so out there that we can't live our lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're wanting to be omniscient. The fear of missing out, the
yes.
whole FOMO thing.
We can be
I don't
happy.
Want to miss out, I don't want to miss out. What is everything? And then we miss out on our own lives in the
yes.
process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love what you guys are saying. Like, at some point, we just got to, like, pause,
mm-hmm.
shut it down,
yes.
and just
mm-hmm.
live the life that God
sure.
has given you in the moment of that season,
yeah.
wherever
mm-hmm.
you are. And that's a powerful message, a wake-up message for
and I
generation.
Think it's difficult to swallow because, you know, if you don't like your situation, you kind of use it as an escape,
Yes.
You know, so it's kind of like, right, it's like, well, I don't really like my situation, but man, Callie's doing great things. And I'm going to encourage and comment and like and share because Callie's doing great things and that makes me happy. And Justin makes me happy, you know, with all his comments on Inverse.
So real, Sebastian.
So I feel like
we're
idolizing. Sorry, we can form a support group after this. Really. So in this sense, I definitely feel what you're saying, and I also feel the angst on the other side, where sometimes we, using the comparison thing, we kind of come back to a place of reflection where it's kind of like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, Justin. I hear what you're saying, Jonathan. I'm just trying to get myself emotionally in a place where I can turn it off and be okay and just look around and say, hey, these four walls.
But that place, where is that? We always talk about when I get to that place. And I think that's the misnomer of it all.
Yeah.
Because we actually never get to that place. That's the seasons of life. We'll never get to that place. So it's, and I know what you're saying, but that place is being with Christ. Yeah. It's not a place, but it's a person.
Yep.
So in the midst of a death, in the midst of a divorce, in the midst of financial chaos, in the midst of everything being okay, still, even in those moments, which is the Laodicean condition, it's not finding that the psychological place, but being in place with Jesus. Amen.
Absolutely. I agree with you. The reason why we always are seeking for that future thing that I want is because we are going to die. You know, there is this point that's going to come. And so we're like, I need to get there. I need to get there. But we were designed for eternity. And in eternity, there is no, in 1,000 years from now, there is just the here and now. With the people and with the Lord.
Amen.
And that's how I want to live now, because, I mean, why not? This is the best way to live. This is how we were designed to live.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. How many of you out there have been, when you were listening to us, you were like, oh no, that's me! That's me! Or there's this desire like, man, I wish this could happen to me, and I really resonate with. We want to pray for you, we want to hear your comments, we want to hear your insights. Visit our social media, just whatever platform you're on, and look for Inverse Bible, and we'd love to hear from your feedback. This has been a real blessing for me, especially with my addiction to social media and Sebastian's addiction. Pray for us. We'll be praying for you. And the takeaway for me is not to idolize the future, not to idolize the past, but to live in the here and now with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hopefully this episode has been a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to us. We'll see you next week here in Inverse.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Callie Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.